Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A little after 4 o'clock on yet another busy sports day. Just because your football team sucked doesn't mean things are very quiet. Things are crazy. The Giants going to Tommy DeVito in the locker room responding. Woody Johnson is a freak of an owner who wants his hands on everything. And oh, by the way, not too far away from here in New York City, the owners' meetings are occurring in Major League Baseball. And you may say, well, who the hell cares? What are they talking about? How they make more money? What they're going to do about the future of TV deals? Yeah, pretty much. And it is kind of boring. But Hal Steinbrenner is there. And so when Hal Steinbrenner is there, very quickly, reporters are going to ask a lot of questions, including, hey, Hal, how'd the meeting go with Juan Soto? You got to ask that question. And Hal Steinbrenner said, I want you to listen very carefully to everything Hal said, and we can analyze. And you could tell me, Tiki, it was a great response, terrible response, whatever. Hal Steinbrenner on the Yankees meeting with Juan Soto. We had a good meeting. It was a very honest meeting. It lasted a couple of hours. Hey, Hal, how confident are you that the Yankees will sign Juan Soto? No idea. We'll be in the mix.
What? Okay, that's not very encouraging.
No idea, we'll be in the mix.
Right. I know that there are rules about what you can say regarding free agents, and so maybe that tempers him a little bit. But didn't he also talk about how hard it is to be in the luxury tax year after year after year?
He has mentioned that doing that. He did talk about that a little today, how being in the luxury tax year after year after year is tough and it's unsustainable.
Yes. This feels like, though, that Hal Steinbrenner is playing a little bit hard to get. Like, yeah, we'll be in the mix, but yeah, you know, we'll see. You know, have fun dating.
Yeah, I get that.
Right? You know, we'll hook up when it's our time. But you know, have fun dating. Go sleep around. It's good.
Is that the right thing to say?
No.
When you're the owner trying to keep the player?
If the girl is the perfect girl, you do everything you possibly can. You say it with urgency, with sincerity, with entrance. Now maybe he's just being safe again. Because you can't only say certain things about free agents, but that sounded like, okay, whatever.
It did. It had a very whatever feel. Right. It also had a very, and there's a few more quotes we're going to get to, but that sounded like a very, I've accepted, we're probably not going to bring them back feel.
Yeah.
And I don't think any Yankee fan wants to hear that right now.
We're going to do whatever we can, but if it doesn't happen,
Do you get that impression, Sean?
I personally didn't, full disclosure.
What did you get then?
I took it as, I am about to be in a bidding war with the Mets owner and with Scott Boras, who knows I have endless funds. So I am not going to say anything that tips into me losing any leverage whatsoever to keep this price that I'm ultimately going to have to pay as minimal as possible.
Do you think your leverage...
It's not going to be minimal, though.
I don't mean literal minimal.
I know what you say, so...
Instead of 750 mil, if it's 735, that's a big difference for Hal.
But do you think comments like this are going to change that?
Like, of course not, but it's all posturing.
I disagree. I don't think there's any need to. I think these comments are all about what you're telling your fans. Mm-hmm. So here's another question he's asked.
It's like you're setting them up.
Yeah, that's right. I hear that, and I'm like, you're setting them up for, hey, we're in the mix, we'll see, we have no idea. He's then asked a very specific question. Would losing Juan Soto to the Mets hurt more than losing other players? And it's a very fair question. Hal's answer? No. As I said, we're going to be in the mix for Soto. If it doesn't work out, it's going to hurt a little bit no matter where he goes. That's another one, Teak, where I would not say you leaving me would hurt a little bit. I would say I'd be devastated. We'll, of course, have a backup plan, but no, we would not be happy if we lost Juan Soto.
That sounds like, yeah, you know what? If we lose him, then you convince yourself we'll be all right. We'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah, we'll be good. We got a good enough farm system. Everything that we've always done over the history of our organization, it's panned out. So even if we, for the first time, don't get a free agent that we want to keep, we'll be okay.
Right.
You know why? Because we're the Yankees.
Because we're the Yankees.
And, I mean, I'm not saying there's an arrogance there, but it's just, it's also dismissive of one of the great players in the game.
It has a dismissive feel to it. It has a dismissive and a I'm trying to lower expectation feel.
Yeah.
Except the next thing he said. Because the next thing he said is the kind of the quote I put on my wall if I'm a Yankee fan and say, this is why you better sign him. Quote, we've got the ability to sign any player we want to sign. Think about that for a second. God. We've got the ability to sign any player we want to sign. So here's how I read that. If you get outbid for Juan Soto, you simply chose, yeah, we have the money.
Right, we don't want to.
We decided we don't want to do that.
No way.
That's unacceptable.
That's just messing with your... Messing with my emotions, Smokey. From Friday, for those who don't know.
It's a great movie. It's a
great movie. Yes. That's what that sounds like.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to set you guys up to be let down because, you know what? We might not be able to sign Juan Soto. We're going to give it our best effort. But you know what? If we want to sign Juan Soto, we have all the money in the world to sign Juan Soto.
Well, it's
basically what he said.
It's also like a comment a child says. Like, yeah, if I want to beat you in one-on-one basketball, I can beat you anytime I want. Well, then go beat him. Like, if my son said to me, because that's something my 8-year-old would say, oh, Dad, I can beat you in basketball anytime I want. And then I beat him. Well, you didn't beat me, son. But I can beat you anytime I want. But I just kicked your ass. You can't say.
Eventually, you got to let him win, Evan.
Well.
You got to let him win so they get some confidence.
I don't know what age you're supposed to stop doing that. That's a debate for another day. We'll get into that. I don't want to do that right now. I have a very serious conversation. We've got the ability to sign any player we want to sign is a quote that will live in infamy if they don't re-sign Juan Soto. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not. In fact, I have now ordered a 22 unnamed pinstripe jersey because he's coming back. You don't say that if he's not coming back and you're not doing that. Look, I think the only caveat here is they have the ability. They're going to give Juan Soto an offer, and if that offer is topping whatever Steve Cohen's offer, the only way he loses out in that opinion is if Soto doesn't give them a chance to like match beyond that, right? Like if he went to Cohen after that and Soto said whatever.
Right, it becomes a bidding war, and then he, give me your best offer. You give him the best offer. He gets a better one and says, man, I asked you for your best offer.
Right.
And you didn't give it to
and
me.
And he doesn't give Hal the chance to match over that. So I take that as the, and also, I bet you there's a part of Hal. And, you know, there's other quotes there that he's tired of being told he's not going to spend, he's not going to have all this money. And I would argue if the Yankees do, and when they do end up signing Juan Soto, the best thing to happen to Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees and staying stagnant was Steve Cohen, because it's pushed him to have a little goal and bring this up.
I think that's absolutely fair. I think that's fair. Hal Steinbrenner on the importance of keeping Juan Soto, especially in the context of fans' desires. Quote, I've got ears. I know what's expected of us. Well, then you got to sign him. Then you got to sign him. Then I don't want to hear about, I don't know. We'll see.
This is a very confusing presser.
If he's got ears.
I'm a little lost there.
He's giving you mixed messages?
He's giving me, again, he's messing with my emotions. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think about Juan Soto.
Yeah, it's.
Especially with the Dodgers lurking in the corner over there.
Ah, forget that.
Not really interested until they are.
They're not a real threat.
Okay.
I had read an article before Hal had met the media written by the great Bob Clappish. Bob Clappish has been covering baseball for a million years, and it was an article that gave me positivity that the Yankees were going to re-sign Juan Soto. I'll read a few excerpts. Steinbrenner seems undeterred by Steve Cohen. He's believed to be, quote, 100% committed to being competitive with Cohen, according to one person familiar with the owner's thinking. Mm. Now, that sounds good, but the truth is, you can't be competitive. You got to beat him. Now, do we all agree? Because I'm starting to hear this cope from some Yankee fans. Well, not great defensively.
Oh, stop.
That's nonsense.
Okay, stop. I just want to make sure. We are committed to, as crazy as this gets, because I know I am. I'm raising my hand as a Mets fan.
It doesn't matter, because in 4 years, 3 or 4 years, he's going to be the DH.
That's how you view it?
That's how I view it.
But you're willing to go to any area to keep him?
Yes.
Financially?
100%.
You agree with that, Sean?
Because I think it's financially worth it.
I agree with you.
Especially that agent. I don't think he's even going to be a DH that soon. I think it might be like 8 years
but down the line. But you are going to promise me, and if you disagree, it's fine. You have every right to disagree. You're going to argue about it, that there is no walk-away price. There's no...
No,
Robbie can know how to walk-away price, and I think we all knew it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no walk-away price for Juan Soto.
Evan, I'm going to promise you this, and I'm going to stay steadfast in this. If you are a Yankee fan, put on the big boy pants, tie that belt tight, and stop making pre-excuses because you're scared of losing Juan Soto. He is 100% one of the top three baseball players in the world. The Yankees should and have all the funds to sign him. If for whatever reason they don't start saying, well, you know, he was a bit butcher in right field. No. That means that our owner didn't go to do a good enough job after trading a billion pitching prospects to sign a guy they absolutely have to have. Be mad at the owner. Don't cope and act like Soto doesn't belong. That's nonsense.
I agree with you. I think this has been set up, and I feel this way on my side as a Met fan, mm-hmm. and you were pretty eloquent with what you said, where this is going to come down to the owner. I'm going to be upset with my owner if he's not the highest bidder. You're going to be upset with your owner if not the highest bidder.
Damn right.
And let's all agree on this. Can we all come together? Because I know this is like a Met-Yankee war.
Yes, let's.
We should put our hands in together and say, anybody but the Dodgers and the Phillies, okay?
Right.
We cannot have, especially the Phillies. I know you're not in their league.
No,
we
Dodgers
can't let...
Me. Just let it be one of us.
We can't let it be one of us. Yes. I signed for that.
Well, the Blue Jays can have it. It's going to be the
They're
Mets.
They're in your division.
So will the Mets in 3 years.
Well, that's true. I already gave that one to you. The Phillies, no way. The Dodgers, no way. He's the enemy of all of us, if that's the case. But I would tell you right now, if it's not my team... Let it be the Yankees.
All right. Agreed.
I do not want it. I know Boston, Toronto does little against me. I'm just signing this blood pact because I don't want him in Philadelphia, who I'm definitely afraid of. Mm. I'm afraid of the Phillies. And if you ask me why...
Why are you afraid of them? Because they can't quite get there.
Because you talk about the Dodgers and what they do to spend. True.
Right.
They have spent. The Phillies signed Bryce Harper... They signed Trey Turner to a billion-year contract.
Right, but it hasn't worked.
Their town got Saquon.
That's not the point if it worked or not. They got to a World Series. They haven't won a championship.
Yeah, but it didn't work.
Well, has it worked for the Dodgers until this year? They won the Mickey Mouse title in 2020.
Yeah,
what did it do in 21, 22, 23?
Yeah, but, I mean, the Mickey Mouse title, let's call that for what it is. But right after that, they did Mookie Betts, right?
And what'd they win?
And nothing.
Okay, the Phillies won more.
And then they realized it wasn't good enough. So let's go get Ohtani. Let's go get Yamamoto.
Well, that's what the Phillies are doing. That's what the Phillies would be doing if they signed Juan Soto. I'm afraid of the Phillies. You got to take this Middleton seriously. He's got a lot of money. He's talked a big game.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about my owner, Steve Cohen. They have a high payroll, but he hasn't brought in the big fish yet. That hasn't happened.
Cohen. Yeah, not the long-term fish. He brought in the short-term big fish.
Mega fish he has not brought in yet. Middleton has. Mm. They brought in Bryce Harper. Even to a degree, Trey Turner. Like, I need to see my owner do it. And by the way, that'll be reflective a little after 5 o'clock because I'm going to release the latest Evan Roberts New York Sports Owners Rankings. Hmm. I have an official list. I worked hard on it. Woody Johnson forced me to update it earlier this morning with his craziness. And you'll see that Steve's got some work to do. But bottom line is this. Blood packed. Mets or Yankees?
Hey, Tommy.
Can't have them in Philly. Can't have them in L.A. Let's go to Paul in Plainview. How are you, Paul?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up?
Good, man. What's up?
Preface this by saying a realistic bordering on negative Yankee fan. Number one, has there been any rumblings of Soto's willingness to take deferred money?
No. I think the only willingness I heard was Boris is not a big fan of it, so it's likely that we're not going to get that much deferred money in a Juan Soto contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My other point was that there are advantages to not signing him as a Yankee fan, only because I could see the Yankees signing him and then that being it. Hal telling the fans, basically, be happy with this. I'm not doing anything else. There are glaring holes on this team. There are a lot. You need either a second or a third baseman,
right?
Depending what you do with Jazz. You need bullpen help. You definitely need a a number two or
Paul, I want to push back. Let me push back on this. You're right that there are other things they need to do. Juan Soto agrees with you because apparently in that meeting he talked about the upgrades he'd want to see on the Yankees as well. But if you lose Juan Soto, sure, you've just freed up the $50 million you're not spending. You have to replace Juan Soto too. So not only are you refilling the holes you just talked about, how are you replacing an offensive force like Juan Soto?
Well, you really can't because there's nobody else like him. And that would be the same thing for everybody else that misses out on him just because they didn't have him.
But that's why you're better signing him.
Right. It feels it doesn't feel as bad for teams everybody else other than the Yankees because you didn't experience it.
Correct.
You didn't live it. You didn't see the impact that it had when Judge and everybody else went through their moments of slumping. Juan Soto was always consistent. Yeah, there was a little bit of time, but you know what I mean? He was always that guy. Whether he's always getting on base. No, even if he's not hitting the ball hard, he's walking.
So you just freed up $50 million you're not spending on Soto. Cool. How are you replacing him and filling all those holes? Like you act like it's so easy. How are you doing it? You're going to sign two free agents? Like, oh, I'll just sign Anthony Santander and Alex Bregman. Okay, do you think that makes you better? I disagree with you.
Yeah.
You're wrong. I don't think it does. So I don't think there's a really good baseball argument to, hey, they're better off walking away. This is about money. This is about a willingness to spend. And the Yankees have to show that, especially when the owner says, quote, we can sign anybody we want to sign. Mm. That's his quote. Now, here's what he said about payroll. Right? We're in a better starting position than we were a year ago. There's no doubt about that. Look, year after year after year after year, payroll similar to this year and the luxury taxes they produce are not sustainable, not feasible, and that's the case for the vast majority of owners and maybe all the owners. Doesn't mean in any given year I can't do what I want to do. I mean, we've got the ability to sign any player we want to sign. So you hear all those words and you say, okay, he doesn't want the payroll to be that high year after year after year, but he also told you, hey, look, we can sign anybody we want to sign.
It almost feels like he's like warning the other owners or warning Steve Cohen in particular.
You think so?
Yes.
Saying what?
Saying, one, the back end of that statement is that we're going to sign, we'll sign whoever we want to sign, meaning our offer is going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
But if you outbid us, you're going to be in a luxury tax hell that you're not going to be able to love for the next 15 years or whatever, how long the deal is, 12 right. years, because you're going to be in it. And maybe Steve Cohen doesn't care. I doubt that he does, but it sounds to that sounds more like a warning because he's not talking about himself or his team. He's talking about all the teams. If you sign a big deal with Juan Soto and you go for it with other contracts as well, you're going to be in the luxury tax.
Well, look, the Philadelphia Phillies have a monster contract with Bryce Harper for the next decade. They have a monster contract with Trey Turner for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
They may make another monster contract. And you know why John Middleton would do that? Because he wants to win. And so, yeah, you may pay for that on the back end. This may not end well the last couple of years, but you're trying to win. You're trying to do everything you can to win. And I defy anybody to tell me that you're closer to winning by not re-signing Juan Soto. You're not. Mm. That's not true. Now, you could tell yourself that because you're disappointed, and that's what we do as sports fans. Like, I know what I'm going to do if the Mets miss out on Juan Soto. I'm going to scream and yell at Steve Cohen. I'm going to call him a false god. We're going to do all that. And then I'm going to pivot, and we're going to talk about, all right, well, what do you do? And yes, there are other ways to build a baseball team, but what I'm arguing is there aren't better ways right. to build a baseball team.
Right.
You can do it. No one's giving up. There are other moves one can make, but this is the best move one can make. And when the owner says, we can sign anybody we want to sign, I'll tell you right now, you are putting the pressure on yourself mm-hmm. that there's no excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what the fan is going to think. It's kind of all that matters.
And that's the truth.
Right.
Sharif is calling from Manhattan. Good afternoon, Sharif.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, look, it's like any other business, right? Like, if you're telling me you're a multi-dollar business and signing Soto is going to wreck you and you're going to be in the negative, it doesn't make sense. But if they're in the positive, they shouldn't be using the excuse to not want to pay him. And one, I think with these contracts, you know, Major League Baseball, you know, the only reason why he's going to get this contract is because, one, he's 26 years old or going to be 27.
Yeah.
So he has a lot of years ahead of him. I think in Major League Baseball, it shouldn't be no more than 10 years. I think if they said 10 years, $650 million, they would have no problem doing that. I think it's just the paying them to 41 years old in baseball just doesn't make sense. He's not. I don't remember a last baseball player being LeBron James.
No, you're right. And the challenge is,
unless they have steroids, right, like Barry Bonds.
But the only way that that happens is it's got to be collectively bargained.
It's never going to happen.
And there's no way that is ever, 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 ever going to happen in Major League Baseball.
It shouldn't happen either, by the way. It's a free market.
It's a free market, but it's also an uncapped market, and it's often punitive for the smaller players, meaning the younger players, like those guys who aren't immediate stars, who get stuck in arbitration for most of their careers. And then they end up getting not a 10-year deal, but they get a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal when they're 30 something years old. So that's why it's tough. Well, but it's big money. And so what are you actually complaining about? You're playing baseball.
You also have to remember something else that I kind of find interesting, and you would too if you go down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a 14-year contract. We're talking about a 15-year contract. And it's fair to say, how do those work? Like, how do they usually work? What does history tell us about those kinds of contracts? And the answer is, we have no history on them. Because Julio Rodriguez signed a 13-year deal. He did that a year ago. Yoshinobu Yamamoto signed a 12-year contract. He did that last year. You know, Bobby Witt Jr. just signed an 11-year deal. He did that this year. Fernando Tatis Jr. signed a 14-year contract. He only did that 3 years ago.
That feels like forever.
Shohei Ohtani signed a 10-year contract. That was last year. Manny Machado just signed a brand new 11-year contract. He just did that last year. And it goes on and on and on. Trey Turner signed that 11-year deal. He did it last year. Bryce Harper. All of these like super long contracts are so new.
Yeah.
So we don't even have like a history to tell us how is it going to work. And the truth is, it's going to work different for everybody. Everybody ages differently. How will Juan Soto age is a fair question. But what I'm telling you is I can't worry about that right now. He's 26 years old, and I feel pretty damn good that for 10 of those years, he's going to be really, really, really good.
Right.
That's how I view it.
And that's what you have to care about.
That's exactly what you have to care about. More of your calls next. Plus, what did the Yankees say in the Juan Soto meeting? We do have some details. 888-808-1019. 4:30 on this Wednesday in New York City. We're finally going to get rain. It's going to rain a lot. It's going to be very windy. But you know what? We need it. It's like medicine. It's like very, very important medicine for our area. So we'll get that over the next 36 hours. Don't complain. I know the commute's going to suck on Thursday morning. I get it. I understand it. Traffic, blah, blah, blah. We need rain the way I need my owner to not butt his head into football operations like Woody Johnson does. So we need it. We're going to get it. Now, I'll tell you about what happened in the Juan Soto meeting in a minute. We'll get back to your calls as well. Giants, Jets, Soto, 888-808-1019. But it is time for a very popular segment around here. It is our very big sports IQ trivia question. It's presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. The question we are asking, who were the starting quarterbacks in the Giants-Bucks 27-season wildcard game? So, 2007 season. It occurred in January of 2008. The Giants and the Bucks from Tampa. Who were the two starting quarterbacks? We will take caller number 3 at 866-540-WFAN to answer your sports IQ trivia question, and you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your sports IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. According to Bob Clappish, here were the people involved in the Juan Soto meeting. Hal Steinbrenner, Randy Levine, Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, and this one stings, Omar Minaya. And I get it. Omar's on the staff. He works there, but come on, Omar. What are we doing here? But I understand.
What's wrong with Omar?
He's a Met. Like, he's competing on the other side.
Okay, maybe he's throwing negative news about the Mets.
You think so? You think he's spreading, like, fake rumors about the Mets? I'll tell you, Queens, very overrated. Nah, he would never.
In the clubhouse, this thing happens in the back room over there. You might want to stay away from that. Really? Yeah. I mean, don't ask nobody. That didn't hear from me.
Listen, you got to do whatever it takes to win, right?
No doubt.
All right?
You ain't cheating. You ain't trying.
According to Bob Clappish, each member of the hierarchy had an opportunity to address Soto directly.
Really?
So Omar Minaya.
So what does that mean? So everybody gets to address Soto directly. Is it like five guys standing in line? Hi, Juan. Blah 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 blah. Next guy. Hi, Juan. Blah blah blah. Like, what does that look like?
I would guess like they're all on a couch. They're all hanging out. Hal starts it off and tells him, you know, how much he means to the Yankees, and then says, Brian, take it away. And then Brian Cashman does his thing.
Isn't that awkward?
And then Brian's like, hey, Omar, what do you have to say? And Omar's like, ah, the Mets, they suck. You don't want to go there. And so that's how I envision it.
That's so awkward.
Is it?
Can't it just be a conversation? Hey, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. It's like grown men, because y'all about to pay me a lot of money.
Right.
So talk to me like I'm a part owner of this team, because the amount of money I'm making, that's about what it's going
to
be.
That's true. Each member of the hierarchy had an opportunity to address Soto directly, emphasizing the strong relationship the slugger has with his Yankee teammates, the fans, and the city at large. With agent Scott Boras sitting next to him, Soto expressed his feelings about the Yankees' future. He wanted confirmation from Steinbrenner about a continuing commitment to excellence. That's code for you better spend.
Right.
Like, it's one thing to give me $700 million, but then you got to sign more right. people.
Well, no. You know what that is? If you're the Yankees, the easy answer is we are. Yeah. We're signing you.
Yeah.
Period.
No, no, you can't do that.
I know, but that's what he should say.
You got to lie then. You got to say, yeah.
We didn't make the playoffs a year ago. We signed you. We did. So our commitment to excellence is you, dude.
That's not a good answer, though, because he wants more.
Okay.
But he does.
Oh, that's necessarily going to happen. But you're not going to go be the Dodgers. You're not going to go spend private equity money and sign every free agent
possible.
Well, guess what?
If you say that to Juan, then Juan would sign with the Dodgers or a team that's promising him that. I think when he says that, hey, Hal, I want a continuing commitment to excellence, I would.
But that's going to happen just naturally for the Yankees.
That's why you lie out your teeth and you point to, look what we did with Cole, look what we did with Judge, right. We did with Rodon. Of course we're going to continue to do that. And then if they decide for a year or two they're not going to do that, then it's okay.
I agree with you. I think in that case you just have, it's not even lying. It's, hey, my intention is, yeah, we're going to continue to spend. Mm-hmm. If things change, they change.
And by the way, if you don't like it in 4 years, guess what? You're under contract.
Yeah, too bad.
He might have an opt-out, but
we'll see. Soto also pointed out where the Yankees need to improve. He heard Steinbrenner say there will be upgrades in next year's roster, although it's unknown who the Yankees are specifically targeting. So Soto sat there and said, here's where we need to get better.
So this sounds like what Aaron Judge did.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
After having a bad season, not making the postseason.
Yeah.
Things are going to change around here.
Yeah.
And he, you know, went and obviously helped. I don't know if he recruited Juan Soto, but whatever. They went and got Juan Soto. And so
I think it was more the way they digested analytics that probably
right.
changed.
You're probably right.
Maybe guys playing a lot more, even though Aaron Boone denied that
course.
To us.
Right. It was all those things that you're talking about. Oh, and by the way, go get Juan Soto. That's probably what
it is. Yeah, no doubt. So I think what you get from these meetings is Soto didn't have a bad experience. It's not like he can't wait to leave.
No.
But I think the Yankees are kind of in that same bucket or a similar bucket as the Mets and the Phillies and everybody else. Show me the money.
You know what I like about this? What you're hearing out of this, the big takeaway? This reminds me a lot of a story you've told a million times. LaMarcus Aldridge, just looking for basketball stuff here.
Yes.
Soto wants the baseball here. It's not about, hey, he's selling me on billboards and everything else. I like that out of Juan Soto because the Yankees can offer that.
Yes. No, no, absolutely.
Did Hal do a big PowerPoint presentation on Caleb Durbin and what he'll bring to the table?
Maybe they did. It's been a good 10 minutes on, this is your third baseman, Caleb Durbin. He's really tiny, but he's good.
Right.
They were pretty good.
Third last year, Jazz, he'll be at second.
Yeah.
Right. And then Martian, he'll be in the outfield. Sometimes taking your place so you can just DH and chill.
Well, can't DH that much. You got Giancarlo.
That's true. It's a good point. But he needs his days off.
That's true.
We don't need Giancarlo until the postseason.
That is correct. You got to keep him fresh.
100%.
Let's go to John in Garden City. How you doing, John?
Hello, guys.
What up?
So I've been following this Juan Soto thing as a season ticket holder, rabid Yankee fan, and I've called you guys a bunch of times. And I did a little number checking. This is what, first of all, I'm dying to know what Soto's looking for upgrades. But I mean, it's never going to get out, but I'd love to know if he's like, listen, you could do better than Volpe, or, you know, like, I'd love to know what he's asking for.
Yeah.
However, here's what I think the signal from Hal is, I went out, he said it, he goes, I'm not going out there not to close, basically. And it's not money. So I think, I did the numbers. This is what I would tell Soto. Juan, look at this century. Yankees are in the playoffs 20 out of 25 years, 80%. Look at the last 10 years, it's 80%. That means every four out of five, 80%. If you're not a good enough player, well, you're not going to be able to win some World Series if you're in 8 out of 10 years, 20 out of 25 years. You're like, you're the common, you're the Ted Williams of our time. you and the people that are with you are going to have a shot almost every single year.
Right. That's a good argument.
I don't think there's any other team that's even close to that.
Well, I think the Dodgers. The Dodgers are the team with the track record over the last
decade.
8 out of 10?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I didn't run their numbers.
Honestly, right. I'll run their numbers for you. I think it's 10 out of 10. Like, I think the Dodgers' consecutive playoff streak may be a 10. I have to double check.
But you keep poo-pooing the Dodgers. I'm just telling you.
No, I'm poo-pooing them because I'm not poo-pooing their winning.
Right, you just don't think they're going to spend the money to get one.
Correct. The last time the Dodgers missed the playoffs was 2012. So, yes, their streak is pretty damn good.
Right.
So how many in a row is that? Starting in 2013, they've made the playoffs every year.
That's 12.
Yeah, that's 12 in a row.
Yeah.
So the Dodgers have that. The Dodgers have that ability to say we're there every year. And look, I think the Phillies and even the Mets are going to be able to argue, sure, we didn't do it maybe 10 years ago. We didn't do it 2 years ago, but here's why we're going to do it for the life of the contract. Mm. So I think those teams can make that compelling case as well. But yeah, the Yankees have the track record on their side. What they have on their side, and this is why I think most people believe this, but I certainly do, if there's a tie, if the contracts are the same, I assume he's going to pick the Yankees.
Yeah.
Because I think he did have a good experience with the Yankees.
Right. And so all these conversations that we're talking about, the hello, how you doings, and what are you going to do, he knows. Like, he knows who to go to and talk to and ask about those type of things. So he has a familiarity already.
That's why this all comes down to Hal's writing of the check.
It's all about the money.
I know, because if they don't match, then I think he'll leave.
Yes. Yes. Ultimately, it's going to be that.
That's what it's going to come down to. And just
what were our predictions again, by the way?
Concerning the contract?
Yeah. We're getting close to mine, right?
Yeah. Well, your contract prediction, hold on, I wrote it down. We also cut the audio of it. We'll play that as soon as, it happens. But your contract was, hold on, show predictions.
I feel like it was next week.
Win total. Oh, you mean date?
Yes.
I apologize. We have two Soto predictions. We have the date he signs.
Yeah.
And we have the contract. Tiki Barber's date was November 23rd.
Hmm.
So Saturday.
Yeah, that's not happening.
You're screwed.
Ah.
Yeah. After that, we have Tommy Lugauer, who picked exactly 1 week from today at 11 o'clock at night. November 27th at 11 o'clock at night.
I stand by that
one.
That
would be
cynically
a real jerk move.
Thanksgiving Eve at 11 o'clock at night?
It's like a news dump.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Exactly. If you're not going to do that.
I agree.
Unless you don't want the backlash for how much money you're going
to he wants Evan to do an emergency RICO at 1 in the morning on a holiday.
Let me tell you something right now. There'll be an emergency RICO. I'll be doing that. I'll be on the air. Like, it'll all happen.
You won't be putting up your tree Thanksgiving Day morning. It'll screw up your whole holiday.
We'll find time to do it. The podcast doesn't have to be 8 hours long. My prediction officially is December 10th, which I think I'm going to win this. Like, if we're just being honest, I'm going to win the date.
You're probably right.
Because it's going to be right after the winter meetings. That's when he'll sign. And then Morash's prediction is New Year's Eve, December 31st.
Be a big pig about this. I already sense it coming.
You think he's going to wait till the ball's coming down?
We just found out that he had a bunch of meetings and, quote, there was no money discussed at any of them.
Yeah.
This feels like meet with people 17 times and really get your butt wet.
What is this, The Bachelor?
But no. Do you have to go back and meet with the offer? Or can't you just be like, hey, Boris, take care of this. Get this done.
Don't you agree
I don't
that
feel
that's
like traveling out to Los Angeles?
Tiki,
isn't that how
sensible.
This goes next now?
I would think so.
I met with everybody. Now, he still hasn't. He still has to meet with the Phillies. Maybe there'll be another mystery team. But once he has all the meetings and he feels his feelings for the organizations, then it's just simply, all right, let's hear the money.
He just took forever to start these meetings. That's the problem.
What, he should have done it like right as Aaron Judge dropped the pop-up? Like, when did you want him to start?
Yes.
That's when we all internally had the meetings in our head.
Right.
Can you imagine
get this the hell out of the way. You already know you're making more money than anybody ever in the game. Like, do it.
But think about how cold that would be if the next day, like Halloween, he's like, all right, let's start the meetings.
That would be gangster. Wait, sorry, Yankees. I know you guys lost, but what are you willing to pay me? That would have been straight up.
You know what I realized with our Juan Soto predictions? So I wrote down our contract predictions. I wrote down the date he signs predictions, but we never made predictions on where he's going to sign. And I find that to be like insanity.
Yeah.
So ladies and gentlemen, what better time than here? What better place than now? Wait a second. I got that backwards.
Yeah, you did.
What better place than here? What better time than now? November 20th, 4:42 p.m., sort of a long-term bet. Tommy Lugauer, where will Juan Soto sign?
Juan Soto, pun intended, is the apple of Steve Cohen's eye. Juan Soto will be playing right field for the next 15 years in Queens.
Sean Morash, where will Juan Soto sign?
He will be the quarterback of the New York Jets.
Can I get a heartier laugh?
Not funny.
He'll be a Yankee. Okay. Come on.
All right.
Why are we even doing this? We know.
Right. I want so badly to say Yankees.
Tiki Barber!
I'm saying the Dodgers.
Boom! Oh, come on.
I just can't help it.
The Dodgers.
They are the evil empire.
How much of the Grinch did you watch last night?
A lot.
He is the Grinch, Tiki.
I am the Grinch. You guys know I hate I love the holidays. They're festive. It's fantastic for my children.
I am between two teams.
My dogs. And my million Christmas trees.
I mean, are they all up right now?
Yes.
Good for you.
Way to hold firm.
I am between two teams. I am very battling the two teams. I have this feeling with Juan Soto, he's screwing all of us. I really do. I have this feeling that Juan Soto has sucked us all in. He loves New York, the Northeast, the Mets are the Yankees. There's way too much hot air around the Mets that it scares me. There's too much talk about inevitability.
Yeah.
That it does remind me of A-Rod a lot. It really does. Now, I know that Steve Cohen hasn't come out and said he's a 25-1 player, you know, morphing the A-Rod stuff. But the hot air and the noise around the Mets scares me. It's almost too good to be true. There's something I don't trust about the Yankees. So to me, it's between two teams. And those two teams are teams that will cause my sports fandom to take a major, major hit. Those two teams are the Philadelphia Phillies and the Washington Nationals.
I knew you were going back.
I believe Juan Soto will be a Philly or a National.
You want the conspiracy.
You got to pick one.
Of course.
I have to pick one?
Yes.
All right.
You know what? No, Evan, we'll pick two. I think it'll be a Yankee or a Met.
No, that's not
Yankee,
fair.
Met, Dodger, Philly for me.
No, I
get four options.
I'm picking two out-of-the-box teams. The Phillies didn't have a meeting to the last second, and the Nationals don't even have
a
reporting meeting.
The Phillies are not out of the box. If you want to put those, red potatoes on the table, you just pick one.
All right. Phillies or Nationals, Phillies or Nationals, Phillies or Nationals, Phillies or Nationals, Phillies or Nationals. He's going to stun us all. He's going back to Washington.
Okay.
There's no meeting reported. There's nothing out there about that other than mystery team. Mystery team. Mystery team. Ooh, there's a mystery team. Yeah, the mystery team is daddy. I'm going back to daddy, or I'm going back to mommy, whatever you want to call the Nationals.
All right, good. And now while you're at it, pick one appetizer in that Munchie Mania, because you did this last week.
I won't do that. It's the whole mania.
No, you always go with more than one option.
What is in the mania?
It's waffle fries. It's, I believe, mozzarella sticks.
Yeah.
And quesadillas.
Correct.
Yeah.
All three.
Mini mozz sticks, by the way.
That's fine. I like all three.
Be the mini mozz sticks. Mini mozz.
Yeah, see, Tiki, this is where we steer you. Have you learned anything from working with me and Evan?
No.
The Friendly's quesadilla. is unparalleled.
Okay. But I like chicken sticks.
Cheese sticks?
Cheese sticks.
Yeah. I just had a chicken sandwich. So I like cheese sticks.
Well, the beauty is you don't have to choose. They're all in the same appetizer.
Yes, but it's not one appetizer.
But you don't have to choose. It's Sean made up a fake rule that you got. No, it's one appetizer.
Because everybody's got a Munchie Mania, Evan. Everybody puts their three best on the table.
Correct.
So do you eat the Munchie Mania by yourself, or do you share?
Oh, back in the day? By myself. I need anyone sharing with me on that one.
Do people share their Munchie Mania, or do you eat it all yourself?
It depends. You could order it as a meal, but many times it's what starts the meal. You do that,
so
then you do a honey barbecue melt.
It's not an individual appetizer.
You can make it an individual appetizer.
You're being selfish.
Yeah, but aren't all appetizers supposed to be shared? Isn't that the whole point of it? It's an app that you share, and we all want to eat the whole thing, but we have to share it because it's rude not to.
Most of them are shared because it's like, oh, this is delicious. Have some. Versus... I can't eat all this, or I shouldn't eat all this.
I don't think there's too much.
So you have some.
No, there's not too much.
No, it's like appetizers for the table, Teak.
Yeah, it's a for the table thing. It's because it's what you're supposed to do with it.
I don't know who y'all going to dinner with.
Well, you just eat the whole appetizer?
If you got a salad, are you be like, hey, munch on my salad?
No, that's not an appetizer.
That's not an appetizer.
It is an appetizer. That's a starter.
Side dish.
What? It's also a salad. We're not sharing a salad.
A salad and a soup is like a raised starting pitcher. It's an opener. It begins you.
It's a raised starting pitcher.
The appetizer's to share.
All right. Let's go to Jim in Elmont. How are you, Jim?
Hello, guys. You're talking about food. How about you guys, after you went out to a club or a bar in the diner, what was a go-to? Mine was pizza burger, french fries, mozzarella cheese, brown gravy, and the big onion rings.
Now, onion rings is the call.
Mm.
Some two-ply situation for you.
Well, correct. And now in my late 50s, that might be a trip to the emergency room at 5 in the morning. I can't pull it off anymore. Now, I was going to call. Excellent point you're making about Soto. Where is he going to go? Where is he not going to go? I'm a Yankee fan. I'd love him to stay. But in the landscape of baseball now, it's not what it was back in the day with George. These teams, the owners, billions of dollars, some of them, have outside places to draw money from. So I would say you fans in Toronto could argue their team should get it, Boston especially,
They're
at. A lot of teams, half the teams at baseball, their fan base could go down this road and say, we should get them. If Hal Steinbrenner happened to offer $700 million for 12 years, Steve Cohen does $750 for 12, and he draws the line there, I'm not going to kill Hal Steinbrenner. You guys sound like you are, because it sounds like the blank check kind of a thing here with him. He's not a great player.
It's not a blank check. Okay, you know what? You brought up specific numbers. I think that's a fair question to ask. Sean Morash.
Yes.
He signs with the Mets. And we get the reporting that the Yankees' biggest offer was 12 years, $700 million, which, by the way, whip out the calculator on that. That is a massive offer. That is $58 million a year, which is crazy. And the Mets go to $750 over 12 years, which is $62 million a year. And that's, as far as Hal would go, it's where Steve goes. He picks the Mets.
$4 million difference.
$4 million a year difference over the course of 12 years. We come on the radio 2 o'clock the next day. I'm ecstatic. Tiki's congratulating me. And I say, what do you think, Sean? What is your response to that?
How could you not get to $5 million more per year if that's all it was going to take?
Now, will you do that with any number? That's what our last caller is saying. It's a fair question. Is there any line you would say, all right, you made that? I mean, look, how much more can I go?
I think if you really got to the point where, and we find out it's not just the Yankees, right? The Yankees will say the Dodgers for this case.
Right. It's a real bidding war.
Let's say they all come right around $700 million, and you find out that Steve Cohen is gone 15 years, like $800 million. Stay with me here. Where you go, wow, we really never had a chance. Like, he was that blowing away. Then I got to walk away and go, you know, Hal was within reason with every team. This is just so astronomical that Steve left his mark. That's the only time I stomach it, if it's so crazy. But anything that's like $4 million more, I'm going to look at it and go, how could you not go 4.5 more?
That's the dangerous part about this.
Which is why I think it's going to play out longer than you think.
Because every time you look at a number breakdown, like the one our last caller said, it's easy to rationalize and say, it's not that big of a difference. If you were willing to go to 700, why wouldn't you go a little further? Why are you walking away at that number?
It's so crazy to just think about the money, how much money he's going to make.
Yeah.
And we're not even counting whether he cares about the organization that he's going to play in. Because I think that has to be a part of it, right? Do you like the organization? Do you like the baseball people? Do you like the owners? Do you like the fan base? All that stuff. Because this is going to be the rest of his baseball career.
Right.
And we're making it seem like it's all about money. Now, maybe it is all about money, but you got to think that once you get a certain amount of money, it's happiness matters too.
But then, right? I would ask you this. You're right. For all of us, or for a lot of us, we would kind of have those tiebreakers. It sounds like you had a good experience with the Yankees. There's no evidence that this was a bad experience.
Agreed.
What could happen in a meeting with Steve Cohen and David Stearns that makes him say, there, I want to play there?
I don't.
What could possibly happen?
Nothing, to be honest with
you. That's where the Yankees have the home field tie goes to the runner advantage.
They can say, well, we're in New York too.
Yes.
What does that even mean? So
the taxes are the same. That's the only thing it means. It's less complicated for his mom, who's a CPA. By the way, my dad's a CPA, so me and Juan have a lot in common.
It'll really be about the people then. That's the only differentiator.
Right.
Is the players on the team, the people in the organization. Because playing in New York is, now obviously Met fan is different than the Yankee fan, obviously.
Curtis Granderson once told us that Met fans are better than Yankee fans, but that's Curtis speaking, not
right.
me.
That was his current team, or the last one he was
on.
So
you're saying he was pandering?
Why not? Would you not?
Yes.
Hey, you know what? The Yankee fans were so much better than you Met fans. Oh, he's done. So, like, I wonder about what matters to him. Because it can't just be money. Yes, obviously it will be money. But it can't just be money.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Can I pitch something silly here that's never been done before?
You never pitch stuff that's silly. You're a very serious radio host.
Very, very serious. I don't understand.
Sean is already rolling his eyes. He's afraid.
It will solve all of our problems.
Can I ask you a question before you pitch it?
Yeah.
Is it going to lead to a Lugash debate series?
I'm not in the mood.
I'm not in the mood.
You're not in the mood. You get in the mood. Here's my pitch.
Yes.
Because this is unprecedented with his age and how great he is.
I get it. We share him. The Yankees get him on Tuesdays, and we get him on Wednesdays. No?
Tiki, you're in the broadcasting industry. He stepped on my call.
Right.
Wait a second. That was it?
Yankees and Mets share Juan Soto. They both sign him. Now it's like when you have a divorce or something with your kids. He plays a year with the Yankees, then a year with the Mets.
I was kidding.
You could split the season. Maybe, you know, every other game if they play in the World Series.
Who does he play for in the postseason?
So if only one gets there, easy problem to fix, right? Obviously, if the Yankees get there, he plays with the Yankees. If the Mets get there, he just plays with the Mets. If they both, he could kind of swap. You could have, like, you know, all right.
Play every day?
Yeah, you have to talk to Rob Manfred and set up a schedule where he could be in both places, which I think they could accommodate.
I'm really proud of myself. I speak Tommy so well that I actually came up with his idea. Out of absurdity to what I thought his idea would be.
And by the way, it works for Juan Soto because now you have two owners that could pay you. So it's like going, I don't know, if you go Dutch when you go out to dinner, right? You pay half, I pay the other half.
Collectively, you pay him $1 billion.
He could get $1 billion. $500 million from Hal, $500 million from Steve.
Just one little favor.
The dumbest thing you've ever said, Tommy. But it was pretty interesting.
Evan stepped on the line.
It's not dumb. It's actually really smart.
Stop. It's never going to happen.
Can you do me a colossal favor?
Stop doing meth?
Tonight.
Would you shut up?
No, I'm actually going to say something nice. At 6:30. When I get my car and the Lou Gower starts, I want the show to begin with, the Yankees and Mets should share Juan Soto, 888-808-1019. And I want you to do 20 minutes, serious, no one, people probably didn't hear this at 4:55, a serious, like, open on why they should share them, and then open it up for phone calls. Can you do that for me?
I have to talk about Tommy DeVito
for now. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Wouldn't you rather in your car hear Tommy very seriously?
It's Wednesday. You have time.
Yeah, you got time. But not tomorrow.
Well, I'll do it at some point here over the next
No, not at some point. I think it should be the
opening. Need a program
director? It should be your entire show.
It would be a good show, though. I'm kind of serious.
No, it would be. I just want to hear the Cole.
As a Mets fan, I do want him, obviously, to sign with the Mets. I do think he will, but why not? We share him.
Why not?
16-year contract?
You know what, Tommy? I think it's a genius idea. I think you should open the show with that, and then you'll never get asked to do a weekend show again because you've actually accomplished the tank.
You're funny. We'll come back with a Cinco de Fivo. And while Cinco de Fivo, I'm sure, will be interesting, the list you're waiting for at 5:10 is the list that you can't wait to hear. It is a definitive list. It is your up-to-date New York sports owner ranking list, 1 through 8. It's a definitive list that needed to be updated after what happened yesterday with Woody Johnson.